You are now listening to Jess's Lit on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Jess's Lit, where I'll be exploring all types of literatures and genres from all different types of books and collections of all literatures. I hope everyone's having a fabulous day and evening. It's not raining in Vancouver today, so I hope and assume that people will take advantage of the dry weather, and I do believe it's going to rain all week, all next week, so please take advantage and enjoy the sunshine and darkness, I believe. today's show will be an exciting one. I'll be delving into the subjects of poetry again, just like my first episode. I received a lot of love regarding my talk about the great poet Walt Whitman. So again, for the first half of my show, I'll be reading and analyzing some of his famous poems while expressing my own thoughts about them. The last half of the show, if we do have enough time, I will be again going over some poems that I have written during my free time. And I'm super excited to do that. Now, let's begin with the poetic legend Walt Whitman's I Sing the Body Electric. It's one of my most famous poems of all, favorite poems of all times. I actually went through this during my high school years of school for the first time. It was interesting and a very enthralling piece of work from him. I Sing the Body Electric first appeared in 1855. It was included in one of his most famous works, poetry poetic collections, Leaves of Grass, which I went over last episode. Initially, the poem received controversial reviews because of the frank depiction of sexuality and the celebration of the human body, which was an issue considered taboo at the time, during the 19th century. But the poem nonetheless became more and more popular with each passing day until it reached the stage to be declared a masterpiece of American literature. Its themes of individuality, unity, and interconnectedness have brought praise to the poet, and the popularity of the poem mainly rests on these themes. Now, without further ado, let's go on with the poem. I sing the body electric, the armies of those I love engirth me, and I engirth them. They will not let me off till I go with them, respond to them, and discorrupt them, and charge them full with the charge of the soul. Was it doubted that those who corrupt their own bodies conceal themselves? And if those who defile the living are as bad as they who defile the dead? And if the bodies, and if the body does not do fully as much as the soul, and if the body were not the soul, what is the soul? The love of the body of man or woman balks account, the body itself balks account. That of the male is perfect, and that of the female is perfect. The expression of the face balks account, but the expression of a well-made man appears not only in his face. It is in his limbs and joints also. It is curiously in the joints of his hips and wrists. It is in his walk, the carriage of his neck, the flex of his waist and knees. Dress does not hide him. The strong, sweet quality he has strikes through the cotton and broadcloth. To see him pass conveys as much as the best poem, perhaps more. You linger to see his back and the back of his neck and shoulder side. The sprawl and fullness of babes, the bosoms and heads of women, the folds of their dress, their style as we pass in the street, the contour of their shape downwards. The swimmer naked in the swimming bath, seen as he swims through the transparent green shine, or lies with his face up and roll silently to and fro in the heave of the water. The bending forward and backward of rowers and rowboats, the horseman in his saddle, girls, mothers, housekeepers in all their performances, the group of laborers seated at noontime with their open dinner kettles, and their wives waiting. The female soothing a child, the farmer's daughter in the garden or coward, the young fellow hoeing corn, the sleigh driver driving his 6 horses through the crowd, the wrestle of wrestlers, 2 apprentice boys, quite grown, lusty, good-natured, native-born, out on the vacant lot at sundown after work. The coats and caps thrown down, the embrace of love and resistance, the upper hold and upper hold, the upper hold and under hold, the hair rumpled over and blinding the eyes, the march of firemen in their own costumes, the play of masculine muscle through clean-setting trousers and waist straps, the slow return from the fire, the pause when the bell strikes suddenly again, and the listening on the alert. The natural, perfect, varied attitudes, the bent head, the curved neck, and the counting, such like I love, I loosen myself, pass freely, am at the mother's breast with the little child. Swim with the swimmers, wrestle with wrestlers, march in line with the firemen, and pause, listen, count. I knew a man, a common farmer, the farmer of 5 sons, and in them the fathers of sons, and in them the fathers of sons. This man was of wonderful vigor, calmness, beauty of person. The shape of his head, the pale yellow and white of his hair and beard, the immeasurable meaning of his black eyes, the richness and breadth of his matters. These I used to go and visit him to see, and he was wise also. He was 6 feet tall, he was over 80 years old, his sons were massive, clean, bearded, tan-faced, handsome. They and his daughters loved him. All who saw him loved him. They did not love him by allowance, they loved him with personal love. He drank water only. The blood showed like scarlet through the clear brown skin of his face. He was a frequent gunner and fisher. He sailed his boat himself. He had a fine one presented to him by a ship joiner. He had fowling pieces presented to him by men that loved him. When he went with his 5 sons and many grandsons to hunt or fish, you would pick him out as the most beautiful and vigorous of the gang. You would wish long and long to be with him. You would wish to sit by him in the boat that you and he might touch each other. I have perceived that to be with those I like is enough. To stop in company with the rest at evening is enough. To be surrounded by beautiful, curious, breathing, laughing flesh is enough. To pass along them or touch anyone, or rest my arm ever so lightly round his or her neck for a moment, what is this then? I do not ask any more delight. I swim in it as in the sea. There is something in staying close to men and women and looking on them, and in the contact and odor of them that pleases the soul so well. All things please the soul, but these please the soul well. This is the female form. A divine nimbus exhales from its head to from head to foot. It attracts with fierce, undeniable attraction. I am drawn by its breath as if I were no more than helpless vapor. All falls aside but myself and it. Books, art, religion, time, the visible and solid earth, and what was expected of heaven or feared of hell are now consumed. Mad filaments, ungovernable, shoots play out of it. The response likewise ungovernable. Hair, bosom, hips, bend of legs, negligent, falling hands of all diffused, mind too diffused. Ebb stung by the flow and flow stung by the ebb. Love flesh swelling and deliciously aching. Limitless, limpid jets of love, hot and amorous, quivering jelly of love, white blow, and delirious juice. Bridegroom, knight of love, working surely and softly into the prostrate drawn, undulating into the willing and yielding day. This the nucleus, after the child is born of woman, man is born of woman. This the bath of birth, this the merge of small and large, and the outlet again. Be not ashamed, woman, your privilege encloses the rest, and is the exit of the rest. You are the gates of the body, and you are the gates of the soul. The female contains all qualities and tempers them. She is in her place and moves with perfect balance. She is all things dully veiled. She is both passive and active. She is to conceive daughters as well as sons, and sons as well as daughters. As I see my soul reflected in nature, as I see through a mist, one with inexpressible completeness, sanity, beauty, see the bent head and arms folded over the breast, the female I see. The male is not less the soul nor more, he too is in his place. He too is all qualities, he is action and power. The flush of the known universe is in him, scorn becomes him well, and appetite and defiance become him well too. The wildest, largest passions, bliss that is utmost, sorrow that is utmost become him well. Pride is for him. The full spread pride of man is calming and excellent to the soul. Knowledge becomes him. He likes it always. He brings everything to the test of himself. Whatever the survey, whatever the sea and the sail, he strikes soundings at last only here. Where else does he strike soundings except here? The man's body is sacred, and the woman's body is sacred. No matter who it is, it is sacred. Is it the meanest one in the laborer's gang? Is it one of the dull-faced immigrants just landed on the wharf? Each belongs here or anywhere just as much as the well-off, just as much as you. Each has his or her place in the procession. All is a procession, the universe is a procession, with measured and perfect motion. Do you know so much yourself that you call the meanest ignorant? Do you suppose you have a right to good sight, and he or she has no right to a sight? Do you think matter has cored together from its diffuse, float, and the soil on its surface, and water runs and vegetation sprouts, for you only, and not for him or her? A man's body at auction, for before the war I often go to the slave mart and watch the sale. I help the auctioneer, the sloven does not half know his business. Gentlemen, look on this wonder, whatever the bids of the bidders, they cannot be high enough for it. For it the globe lay preparing quintillions of years without one animal or plant. For it the revolving cycles truly and steadily rolled. In this head, the all-baffling brain, in it and below it, the makings of heroes. Examining these limbs, red, black, or white, they are cunning in tendon and nerve. They shall be stripped that you may see them. Exquisite senses, lifelit eyes, pluck, volition, flakes of breast muscle, pliant backbone and neck, flesh not flabby, good-sized arms and legs, and wonders within there yet. Within there runs blood, the same old blood, the same red-running blood. There swells and jets a heart, there all passions, desires, reachings, aspirations. Do you think they are not there because they are not expressed in parlors and lecture rooms? This is not only one man. This the father of those who shall be fathers in their turns. In him, the start of populous states and rich republics. Of him, countless immortal lives with countless embodiments and enjoyments. How do you know who shall come from the offspring of his offspring through the centuries? Who might you find have come from yourself if you could trace back through the centuries? A woman's body at auction, she too is not only herself, she is the teeming mother of mothers. She is the bearer of them that shall grow and be mates to the mothers. Have you ever loved the body of a woman? Have you ever loved the body of a man? Do you not see that these are exactly the same to all in all nations and times all over the earth? If anything is sacred, the human body is sacred. And the glory and sweet of a man is the token of manhood untainted. And in man or woman, a clean, strong, firm-fibered body is more beautiful than the most beautiful face. Have you seen the fool that corrupted his own live body, or the fool that corrupted her own live body? For they do not conceal themselves, and cannot conceal themselves. Oh, my body, I dare not desert the likes of you in other men and women, nor the likes of the parts of you. I believe the likes of you are to stand or fall with the likes of the soul, and that they are the soul. I believe the likes of you shall stand or fall with my poems, and that they are my poems, man's, woman's, child's, youth's, wife's, husband's, mother's, father's, young man's, young woman's poems. Head, neck, hair, ears, drop the taipan of the years, eyes, eye fringes, iris of the eye, eyebrows, and the waking or sleeping of the lids, mouth, tongue, lips, teeth, roof of the mouth, jaws, and the jaw hinges, nose, nostrils of the nose, and the partition, cheeks, temples, forehead, chin, throat, back of the neck, neck slough, strong shoulders, manly beard, scapula, hind shoulders, and the ample side round of the chest, upper arm, armpit, elbow socket, lower arm, arm sinews, arm bones, wrist and wrist joints, hand, palm, knuckles, thumb, forefinger, finger joints, fingernails, broad breast front, curling hair of the breast, breastbone, breast side, ribs, belly, backbone, joints of the backbone, hips, hip sockets, hip strength, inward and outward round, man balls, man root, strong set of thighs, well carrying the trunk above, leg fibers, knee, knee pan, upper leg, upper leg, upper leg, under leg, ankles, instep, foot ball, toes, toe joints, the heel, all attitudes, all the shapeliness, all the belongings of me or your body or of anyone else's body, male or female, the lungs, sponges, the stomach sac, the bowels sweet and clean, the brain in its folds inside the skull frame, sympathies, heart valves, palate valves, sexuality, maternity, womanhood, and all that is a woman, and the man that comes from woman, the womb, the teats, the nipples, breast milk, tears, laughter, weeping, love looks, love perturbations and risings, the voice, articulation, language, whispering, shouting aloud, food, drink, pulse, digestion, sweat, sleep, walking, swimming, poise on the hips, leaping, reclining, embracing, arm curving and tightening, the continual changes of the flex of the mouth and around the eyes, the skin, the sunburnt shade, freckles, hair, the curious sympathy one feels when feeling with the hand the naked meat of the body, the circling rivers, the breath, and breathing it in and out, the beauty of the waist, and thence of the hips, and thence downward towards the knees, the thin red jellies within you or within me, the bones and the marrows and the bones, the exquisite realization of health. Oh, I say, These are not the parts and poems of the body only, but of the soul. Oh, I say now, these are the soul. Now this was I Sing the Body Electric by Walt Whitman. I originally read this through the book I bought, and it was called Leaves of Grass, which I went over last episode, but today I forgot to bring the book, and so I read this poem right now off of poetryfoundation.org. It is a good website, shout out to them. If you want to check out many more poems, I believe this website is a good website to check that out. Excuse me. And yeah, this poem was a great piece of artwork, in my opinion. The poem itself greatly expresses, firstly, the notion of transcendentalism. For the folks that don't know what that is, transcendentalism is a philosophy that began in the 19th century, so along the lines of when Walt Whitman was living, which emphasized the importance of self-reflection, self-reliance, etc., instead of the notions of reason and rationalism, which was also on the verge of coming up before this, I believe. But yeah, the poem basically really speaks for itself in regards to self-reliance, self-reflection, self-love, self-realization. And I could sort of see why this poem was a bit controversial from the vocabs that Whitman used and just the content itself about self-love and sexuality and the physical attributes of a human being. But, you know, I believe this poem really revolutionized how people view themselves and how society views the concept of the body and the physical embodiments of the human body, physical parts of the body as well. And so if we look at some examples from the book Leaves of Grass, the poem in the last few lines of the fourth stanza of I Sing the Body Electric, Whitman writes that, quote unquote, "There is something in staying close to men and women and looking on them and in the contact and odor of them that pleases the soul so well." This quote, to me, represents, I guess, the special intricate relationship that humans have with each other and among themselves that sort of go beyond rational thoughts. And I think he was trying to convey that message through this quote and other quotes throughout the poem. And him saying, there's something in staying close to men and women. That's something that he says. He implicitly implies that there is something more than just staying close to a man and woman and feeling the contact and him expressing the odors of the humans. And how he says it pleases the soul. To me, it explains that he believed there was something more than just the physical and external elements of just being able to touch, smell, and how it pleases the quote-unquote soul so well. And that, to me, this quote stood out to me a little more than other quotes in the poem. Another thought that I came up with, or that I thought about after analyzing the poem, was just how I Sing the Body Electric presents the thematics of the celebration of the human body and the interconnectedness of all living beings and living things, I can say, although that may cause some debate, but definitely of all living beings and the unity of the physical and spiritual worlds And I just loved how Whitman took into account not only just the physical accounts, but the spiritual accounts of just being itself. And he really encouraged and encourages the readers to embrace their individuality while recognizing their connectedness to the natural world itself. Now, another example of this would be a quote that I completely forgot to cite, but it's okay. Quote unquote, "The natural, perfect varied attitudes, the bent head, the curved neck, and the counting, such like I love, I loosen myself, pass freely, am at the mother's breast with the little child." Now, this quote hit deeply to me as it sort of signified the celebration and recognition of the positive attitudes of the natural human body, and it also explained the human kinship between the mother and child, the most passionate, emotional, intricate emotion and relationship that humans have is through the mother and child. And I believe that Whitman wrote this in a way to express, just for us to think about it and celebrate how amazing the human relationship is and how amazing the human body is. And this seemed really interesting to me. The way he also expresses and talks about man and woman really stood out to me as well. The use of words stood out greatly to me as well. And his experiences, I think, with humans, in a way, stood out to be interesting. The divine nimbus exhales from head to foot as he's explaining the female form. It attracts with fierce, undeniable attraction. Just his wordplay when writing his poems, super intense, yet so soft, yet so intense again. And just the ending of the poem where he says, "Oh, I say now, these are the soul." I think this poem is a long poem, and so I believe that he did a great job in ending the poem with one simple sentence as a sort of unity or unified intention. How he says, "Oh, now these are the soul," how everything that he was explaining from the beginning to the end, now solely as a definition to him, means the soul. And so this, I think, was very interesting. The way he just, towards the end, just lists all the body parts and the curling hair of the breast, for example, just plainly ankle, football, toes, just listing all of the mundane, basic parts as well as the most intricate personal parts, to me was also great to see. And just his, from reading this poem, you could really see how passionate he was about self-realization, self-acceptance, and he really wanted us to embrace ourselves freely. And so, in other words, I also think that this poem is a way of liberation from oneself physically and, of course, spiritually. And again, for us to be liberated, we need to self-express to the best we can and know who we are as individuals, which I think this poem does a great job in. And lastly, to wrap up this poem, the title, "I Sing the Body Electric," was, to me, very odd at first, how it just, at first, didn't really make any sense, "I Sing the Body Electric." But thinking about it now, I mean, although I don't have a concrete answer to this yet, but I believe I Sing the Body Electric, when he says I sing, it could definitely mean so as in he sings, he celebrates the body electric. Electric could mean a lot of things, but to me, I think it means electric as in the electricity of spiritual and physical attributes, how it sparks up. He wants to celebrate and spark up the energy and celebrate the body, which I thought was really enthralling and fun to read. And it was a very intense read as well and took some time to really analyze, but I had a really good time reading this poem. Now, we are done with Walt Whitman's portion of the show. I will come back with some more content of my own poetry after some ads, PSAs, and some show promos. So sit back, and I will be back soon.
With your host, Tim, aka Autonomy, the very best in underground dance music. Tune in every Thursday from 11 p.m. till midnight for Copy and Paste. With your host, Tim, aka Autonomy, the very best in underground dance music. Tune in every Thursday from 11 p.m. till midnight.
Hey Vancouver! For fans of Ocean Alley, Flip Turn, and Still Woozy, alt rockers Juice are bringing their signature blend of rock, pop, R&B, and hip hop to the Biltmore Cabaret on February 3rd, with support from Hembry. Tickets are on sale now. Get yours at admitone.com.
February 24th marks 1 year since Russian full-scale war against Ukraine and 9 years of Ukrainian resistance against Russian invasion and imperialism. 1 year full of unimaginable horror and extreme resiliency. We at the Ukrainian Student Union at the University of British Columbia would like you to remind that the war is not over. Ukrainians are still suffering. Please consider donating to the government organization United 24, launched by the President of Ukraine, as the main venue for collecting donations to cover the most pressing needs. Visit u24.gov.ua for more details. Glory to Ukraine!
In the beginning, there was Thumb.
Something strange and funky condensing out of the primordial ooze. Then, underground house parties and backyard raves. Stuff of legends still whispered about in Boston. And now, the space barn blasts off, and Thumbosaurus is ready to engage a new frontier in the Thumbiverse. Don't miss Thumbosaurus live at the Biltmore Cabaret, January 18th, presented by MRG Live. Head to admitone.com to get your tickets now.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Jess is Lit. You have just heard some PSAs, ads, and some show promos. I apologize if there was some technical difficulties because something with the monitor wasn't working that well. But let's continue on with some of my own poems that I've written after we just reviewed Walt Whitman's I Sing the Body Electric. And so let's go on and dive in with my own poetry. The first one that I want to be talking about is called Be You Like You. And before I explain the significance of it, I'll just read this first. So here we go. Be you like you. The blissful morning when you rise from bed, manifesting through the darkness of your room, stuffing your head. You close the curtains, not wanting light. You close the door, not wanting sight. The air filled with cold indifference, your breath, existence, devoid of reverence. The birds flock in harmony with nature, as you, hung over from light, want nothing but erasure. You view the sights, the mirthful plays outside, while reminiscing the past, emotions overflowing with past pride. The murkiness of your life continues to unfold. You despise the open truth that are being told. You stay adrift, presently in your room, allowing your natural urges, passion, to showcase, to hold together like a loom. The world doesn't matter to you. You don't matter to the world. You are you, nonetheless. Somber or bright, nonetheless. You are you. Now, this poem I wrote yesterday, actually, during the night, before I was sleeping. I was just reading a book. I'm in the process of reading the book from Leo Tolstoy. It's called Anna Karenina. I'm not halfway yet. I just started, I believe, a week ago, but I've been busy with a lot of things, so I've just been casually reading this. But this book really, really is a good book, and I recommend everybody to try and read this out. It's a thick book, so make sure to have your be mentally ready to, I guess, withstand it or take care of it. But I believe it's totally worth it now after kind of getting into the book deeply. But this book, it really got me thinking to be yourself. Sorry for the viewers who or listeners who haven't read it. I'm going to be spoiling a bit of content, but when Anna... So it deals with the concept of infidelity, and Anna and her husband, their marriage is falling apart because Anna is in love with a different person called Vronsky, and how Vronsky also is cheating on his fiance, Kitty. I believe it was Kitty. And everything is just falling into shreds. People are loving, being unfaithful to each other, or not loving and unfaithful to each other. And so this just got me thinking about being who you are and following just what you want. Obviously, during this time of era, you couldn't really, compared to nowadays, be free with who you loved and who you want to marry and whatnot. But yeah, this book kind of inspired me to write this poem to just, I wanted to express through this poem about being yourself and just not caring what the world is like and what it is, I guess, trying to portray in society. And as I say, you know, the murkiness of your life continues to unfold. For example, this quote sort of says that if you conform to, or if you are forced to conform by how society wants you to, or not just society, or just by whoever, if you're forced to do something that you're not really passionate about, it would really, the murkiness of life would start to manifest, and you would feel more, I guess, dark in a way. But, and then also if you do that, you would reminisce the past in relation to how you felt and your desires in your dreams. Like I put down on the line right above this, while reminiscing the past, emotions overflowing with past pride. Although it may not always be pride, it would be some thoughts that you think about that could have happened. You know, oh, I could have done this, instead of I'm glad I didn't do this, or I did do this, in a way. And so, without having regrets, or to not have regrets, I believe, is to follow your own path. Not saying you shouldn't listen to others, but you should have a concrete vision of what you want and not have anything get in the way of it and block you from it. And so this poem, although it may seem a little simple, was pretty deep in my view. And yeah, this was Be You Like You. Another poem that I wrote, it was called It's a Beautiful Morning. It hasn't been very... the mornings in Vancouver this past week, I believe, wasn't the best in relation to the weather, but a couple of weeks ago, and including now, actually, today was, the morning was really nice. But, of course, this poem was written about a week ago, not today. And when I woke up, the sun was shining down through my window, which brought me happiness, and it wanted me to write about the mornings of every world, but in different parts of the world. And so let's go along with this for now. It's a beautiful morning. It's a beautiful morning, raining as it seems, the puddles driftly flowing along the pastures of Beijing. Straw hats you could see roaming diligently through the leaves, the wheats, grains that offer life, unfolding beneath the straw hats, good life. It's a beautiful morning, sunny as it seems, the scorching rays shining, reflecting, along the coasts, birds sailing. In Australia, the reptiles lurking, beneath the rocks, life thriving. The waves blooming, brushing against the surfboard, as it converges with the waters, nature unfolds. It's a beautiful morning, frosty as it seems, the ice broadcasting the reflections to the polar bears as it stares into the ice itself, fervently wanting food. The penguins thrive along the glaciers, huddled together as a team. They fear nothing as long as they're together. The icy waters elegantly breeze above the earth, hydrating life that withstand cold temperatures unlike mice. The beaming sun shining against the ice caps, portraying a divine sense of nature, illuminating the land. It's a beautiful morning, yet, ironically, sweltering as it seems. The sun not only shines, but blazes through the flesh, emitting a sensation unbearable, even for the strongest men. Elephants roam the lands of Africa as akin, protecting their own species, while predators seek to prey on them, waiting patiently and patiently and patiently. The realities of survival manifesting here, on this land, the ways of life, the natural methods shown on this land. Cycles of life go round and round and round and round, while the sun shines, regardless. It's a beautiful day. This poem was sectioned into four parts. The first section had to deal with the mornings in Beijing, China. The second part was from Australia, and the third part from the Antarctics, and the last section was from Africa. And it was just a spontaneous thought that came into my head when I was writing this poem. I just wanted to express all the different varieties and sequences and situations of different places around the world. And so at first I talked about how you could see, you know, straw hats when they're hoeing up the grains in China. And then we moved on to the scorching rays shining in Australia with the different sorts of animals that may be thriving underneath rocks, and the waves and the surfboards that are stereotypically a part of Australia. And then we move on to the frostiness of the Antarctic, where the polar bear looking through the ice, wanting food, yet the ice, all it does is broadcast the reflections to the polar bears. And the penguins, of course, can never forget about them, huddled together as they are, as a team, and they fear nothing if they're together as a team. And then the icy waters, how it elegantly breezes above the earth, hydrating life that live underneath and on top. And the last line of the third passage, or paragraph, or section, the beaming sun as it shines against the ice caps, and just how beautiful it is, and just how illuminating it is in relation to the land. And the last section, I move into Africa, how sweltering it is, how hot it is, and how unbearable the emitting sensation of the sun is, even for the strongest men, quote unquote. Although it's super hot, though, elephants roam around the lands of Africa as a family, protecting their own species. And the predators, for example, the hyenas, wait on them and other animals to prey, waiting patiently and patiently and patiently. And from this thought, I just thought about the realities of survival and how we, as we were evolving, were survivors. And we would have been doing the same thing in the scorching sun, waiting patiently for food. But yeah, this poem was interesting. I enjoyed writing this poem. It didn't take too long. I believe it just took a few days. But it definitely is one of my favorite poems. And in the future, I'd like to expand on it a little more in regards to different locations of the world and different cultures. And so we'll see where that brings me. And now the last poem of the day is called Cheers, People. Or before we go on to that, the poem I just read was called It's a Beautiful Morning. And yeah, now going on to the last one, it's called Cheers, People. And I'll explain after I read it. Cheers, People. There will come a time for you, only for you, if you continue to strive for the things you want in life. There will come a time for you, only for you, if you continue to seek guidance for the things you want in life. Let go of your doubts, as they do not allow you for success. Instead, bring forth your emotions in harmony and peace, and believe that you will one day bloom. Now, this poem I wrote recently as well. I believe it was about 2 weeks ago. I was watching one of my favorite shows, or no, I was watching one of my favorite movies. It was called Straight Outta Compton. I watched it a couple times now, and that definitely is my favorite movie to this date. And it just expresses, the movie explains just the rise up of the group NWA and how they were subjected to lots of racism, discrimination, prejudice because of the color of their skin, but they never gave up. And although they had lots of doubt and they weren't always confident from the start, they never gave up. And at the end, they became the people who they are now, super successful record deal artists, super well-known actors now. And after watching that movie again, I just wanted to kind of write a poem about being free, liberation, as I say in the second to last line, yourself on the last line, how you should always strive to be yourself no matter what you do in life. And that is something that I go by, or that is something that I try to go by all the time. And I tried making the first line a little more dark, in a sense, how I write the gloomy sky present, a ghostly scenery. Oh no, sorry, I am completely out of it. That was not the last poem, actually. But I just wanted to really focus on the liberation part and how one day, if you do not lose hope and your doubts, you will bloom. And I hope everybody follows their path towards success in their own ways and do not let go of the hope and dreams, and please let go of your doubts, because I believe for a fact that you guys, everybody, including myself, will do great in the world. Now, as I mentioned, that would be my last poem. It is not. There is one more, similar to the lines of the last one. I think that's why I got it mixed up. But this poem is called Be Free, and I will quickly zoom through this before we run out of time. Be free. The gloomy sky present, a ghostly scenery, cars start to depart from a long day of labor. The streets are loud, filled with drowsiness, tiredness. You're tired, too tired of the realities of life and existence. Entrapment of the soul and mind, seeming inevitable, unavoidable. But soon you'll realize that you are more worthful and meaningful, purposeful. Open the doors from your reality to the desirable reality. Let your mind free. Let the birds free. Don't tie the rivers. Don't bind the tree. As you will flourish, liberation, yourself. Now, as I mentioned before when I was analyzing the poem called Cheers, People, I mentioned how the last two lines, liberation, yourself, that was a mistake. That was from this poem. But this poem goes similar to along the lines of the last one, talking about the liberation of yourself. I came up with this poem after witnessing Rush Hour a couple weeks ago as well. And just the sunset amidst the rush hour. And it was just a very deep emotion that I felt when witnessing that scenery, and just how a lot of people don't end up following their dreams and stick with this very concrete repeating lifestyle that seems drowsy, tired, that makes you tired as well, and that's the reason why I kind of expressed, hey, you're tired of the realities of life, but soon you'll realize that you are more, which I am anticipating people realize that soon, that you're worthful and meaningful. So it's basically a cheer up poem, which I wanted to write. And every time I read this, I become cheerful, I become hopeful, and I become more happy and just more at ease with the world. And so this poem to me was a heartwarming poem that I wrote, and just wanted to convey the message of unity, hopefulness, and liberty to oneself and to get people to start believing in themselves. And so, yeah, thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in to Jess is Lit. My show will continually air live bi-weekly starting on January 9th of 2024. And I am super excited to finally have a platform to share my passion with literature from all genres across the world. And so again, to repeat, my show will continually air live bi-weekly starting on January 9th of 2024. And so if you guys are interested, please tune into my shows and all the other amazing shows that are happening at CITR. Please support CITR. They are an amazing organization with great people. And I will see you all on January 9th at 5 to 6. Again, continually air live bi-weekly starting on January 9th, 2024 at 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. And I hope everyone tunes into my show for more content about literature. Thank you so much, you guys, and I hope you have a fantastic night. Stay safe, and happy holidays, and happy New Year's. Thank you all.